Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 574. I am Brian Chaffin.
And I am not. I'm actually Jeff Gamet. And today we're going to talk about writing and getting published.
Ooh, and fun.
As a reminder, we do have a new website for you at contextmachine.io.
And don't forget that new logo, which goes with the new name. And as always, you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. But can they actually do that? Is there any kind of contact thing there?
Let's pretend there is for the moment.
Sure, let's do that. Or Twitter, at Context Machine, and we obviously love to hear from you. And then the next line, that's you.
That would be me.
Topman.
And I'm going to say it like it's just totally off the cuff.
Sure.
Hey, also, today's episode is sponsored by Hunter Douglas, and we'll be telling you more about them later in the show.
Okay, listen, I don't want you getting slapped or anything, but that's Oscar material right there.
Thank you. I see what you did there. Yeah. Hey, it just occurred to me that, yes, there is a way for people to contact us by going to contextmachine.io. And you'd think that that I would have remembered this simply
because you set it
up. Due to the fact that I set it up. But honestly, it's such a joke right now, because you would do is go to contextmachine.io and then there's links to take you back to like Twitter and Facebook.
That is so.
But see, I was thinking ahead. Someone might, but I'm going to think about the positive half of that ass.
Yeah. Okay. fair enough. And we are, for whatever it's worth, still on Facebook. And you know, people have been interacting with us there. I don't know. Maybe we'll keep that. I don't know. I hate Facebook.
Yeah, and people have been interacting with us on Twitter as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
But more so on Facebook.
We appreciate all the interaction. We appreciate all the listeners. We appreciate Hunter Douglas for sponsoring this week's episode. And we're going to talk about like both writing and getting published. And we're going to do that all in a mere 30 minutes.
I'm sure everyone listening just laughed too.
Yeah. Well, if they've, you know, heard more than one episode, yes.
It's
probably, probably the case. All right. So here's the deal. You and I have both written nonfiction books. I've done, I've been either written or co-written or contributed to multiple For Dummies books. And then you did that design book.
Yeah, I did Designer's Guide for Mac OS X, and I've done ghostwriting for a few other tech books.
Can you tell us, or is it the kind of ghostwriting where
it's ghostwriting where it's
Oh, I see. Is it that one book about the thing?
Oh my God, you weren't supposed to say. Oh,
sorry. I'll take that.
I mean, no one will know. Wink.
No one will know.
How will I know? No one will ever know.
Right. Listen, the world of fiction and the world of nonfiction are very different. Because you are such a fantastic cheerleader and supporter, have talked about my novel multiple times through the years. I'm not wanting this episode to be about my novel. I am, however, interested in talking about the process of both writing and also getting published.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the worlds of nonfiction and fiction are very different when it comes to getting published in the process. But why don't we just go ahead and start with that? Let's start with nonfiction publishing.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with, in nonfiction publishing, I am surprised, genuinely surprised, that any book ever gets published, because the process is so weird.
How so?
And you start with your manuscript, and process.
You start with your proposal.
Okay. Well, I had jumped ahead.
Well, don't jump ahead.
Right. Okay. Yet you start with your proposal and then oftentimes there's some back and forth with that before, you get a green light to move ahead. And part of that involves negotiating, your upfront fee.
Well, hold on. And, so when you did that book, there was a lot that I had no knowledge of whatsoever when you were doing mm-hmm. that. So mm-hmm. I didn't ask any of these questions at that time. You did not have an agent. Is that correct?
I did not have an agent.
You were working directly with the publisher, and the publisher actually approached you, didn't they?
No, I approached the publisher.
Oh, huh.
Okay. So what happened was I had this idea for the book, which the concept was there's so many books about using macOS out there, and they're generalized. There wasn't anything that focused on what graphic designers needed to know. So I was talking with a friend who, Ben Wilmore, who was also an author at Peach Pit. And I was telling him about this idea, and he said, "Holy crap, this needs to be a book." And because I knew someone that was already on the inside, they were acting as my advocate when I approached Peach Pit and said, "Hey, let's do this book." And so I was in a unique place because my process of getting in the door was much easier because I already had an advocate for me who was not an agent, but another author.
Got it. So in nonfiction, there are probably more books that are sold to publishers without an agent than they are with an agent compared to fiction. The vast majority of works that are signed in the fiction world are signed through agents, and we'll get to that a little bit later. In nonfiction, you don't start with a manuscript; you start with a proposal,
mm-hmm.
and the proposal gets modified and/or selected or edited by the publisher, and then you write the book.
Right, and the proposal in my case, it consisted of like an abstract. And for those of you that don't know what I mean, just state a very brief summary of what the book is going to cover. And then the outline for the book. And then my outline, that's where we started making modifications and playing around with stuff. Before we came up with our final agreement.
Right, which makes sense. And then you've got usually a very limited amount of time to write the book in the world of nonfiction. And
right.
And it kind of depends on you and the topic as to how much of that content is actually controlled by you. So like most of the nonfiction, actually all the nonfiction that I've done has been through Wiley and their Dummies series. And it's very formulaic. Someone like Bob Levitis, when he's doing a Dummies book, he's controlling most of the process. Someone like mm-hmm. me, who didn't have the history with Wiley and the history with publishing and the name that Bob had in terms of the name on a bookshelf. Generally speaking, I was always much more under the whim and control of the publishing editor. So that's kind of how that worked. And I also had an agent. Actually, most of the time, most of the stuff I did because Bob was subcontracting out to me. But I did eventually sign on the nonfiction side with Carol Jellin, and she's absolutely fantastic. She's at Waterside, and getting an agent to represent you, especially in the nonfiction world, is super important. Well, it's important in both worlds. But I think on the fiction side, you need the agent to be able to sell your project, and then from there, help protect you. In the nonfiction world, I think that the agent does a lot more protecting just from the get go.
Mm-hmm.
That's my gut feeling.
That makes sense. Yeah. Go ahead. No, you asked me a question.
Well, I was going to ask what you used. Did you write the book in Word?
Oh God, no. No. What I did, I wrote the book in Omni Outliner, really.
Okay.
I kind of live in Omni Outliner, right. It seems.
The publishing so world I created lives in Word.
It does. So here was my process, because Word gets in the way. But it's a necessary part of the process, because you have a Word template that you're working with, and it has all of the special formatting that includes scripts and stuff that's necessary for when the book is actually ready to be published. And then it ties into FrameMaker, yeah. and it's crazy. But so what I did, because Word would get in the way of my process, I wrote the book in Omni Outliner, and then I would take each chapter out of that and put it into BB Edit, where I was just working with my raw text so that I could finish all of my edits before everything would go off to my editor. Before it went off to the editor, then I copy and pasted the chapter into Word, where I then used all of the formatting that they had set up so that everything would work the way it needed to through the rest of the process. And then all of the edits and everything else that went along with each chapter, it all stayed in Word from that point forward. But getting that initial content, I couldn't do it in Word, because it was just hobbling me too much.
I guess that makes sense. At least when it comes to the dummy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is a spam site. Malware site. Great. I was looking for a link to send to you. And that site is apparently hijacked. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, don't send me that link.
I'm not gonna send you that link. So and with the dummy site and Wiley and their Dummies series, it is, like I said, it's very formulaic. It's very established. It's very, you know, it's a system for sure, but everything was done in Word, one Word file per chapter. I think the table of contents had its own chapter. I think the index at the end had its own chapter, that sort of thing. And then you do, essentially the writers have to do a lot of macro injecting as you go. So like,
that's part of that template that you get. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. All of which I found very, very intimidating. Fortunately, Bob was always there to show me the way, which Bob Levitas, by the way, is freaking awesome.
Bob is great. Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. So let's see here. We have that the nonfiction side. You end up going through multiple rounds of edits. There's like there's line editing. There's technical edits, and usually there will be a technical editor that's assigned to the book. Probably depends on the size of the publisher and their resources as to how much editing help you actually get. And then it really, you usually have a few weeks to 2 or 3, maybe 4 months to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of depends on the topic. It depends on how timely it is. It depends on, you know, how much with a lot of the dummy stuff in the Apple space, a lot of it was based around the release of operating systems. Or the release even of new devices. So the time crunch was oftentimes quite real.
Right. Yeah. And in most of those cases, for software, you'd be working with beta software and hoping,
if you're lucky,
that if you're lucky. Yeah. And then hoping that stuff doesn't change at the last minute. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was especially true for the iPhone stuff that Bob was doing. The iPad books often had a little more leeway because they were, you know, probably less important to Wiley, that'd be my guess.
Okay.
Yeah, more iPhones are sold than iPads. So had a little bit more time with those than I know that Bob did with the iPhone stuff. Anyway, nonetheless, that is the sort of the world of nonfiction. With nonfiction, it's very important that you have some what the industry calls a platform. So, like, if you are an unpublished author, or even if you are a published author doing a new project, they want you to have people who already pay attention to you before they take on the new project. So for you and me, Jeff, the work we were doing at TMO played a role in being able to sell a project.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
That's not usually as important in the world of fiction. A platform really isn't really as much of a thing in the world of fiction.
But I think that also makes the agent that much more valuable in the fiction space.
Yeah, well, in the fiction space, so I can talk a lot more, despite the fact that I've done so much more work in the nonfiction space. I've done a lot more research and spent a lot more effort in the fiction space. So what has happened in the world of publishing in the last very several years is that Amazon has sucked all the profits out of publishing, at least a lot of profits. You know, Amazon's raced to the bottom where, you know, Amazon's goal is to sell more books, period. Because they're making a little bit of money on each book, and they don't really care about, at least that's how I see it. They don't care about quality. They don't really care about books. They just want to sell them. And that has resulted in less money to spend on book development in the publishing world. So
yeah,
in fiction, you've got 20, 50 authors, somewhere around there, who make all the profits, not just for the authors, but for the publishers. And everybody else is break even at best. You know, break even to a slight profit. And
that's actually pretty much the same in, to a degree. It's very similar in nonfiction, where most books at best break even.
Right, but you don't have the I know that she is on the crap list for a lot of the left for her ridiculous comments on transgender
folks. How about if we say Anne Rice, because she's not on a crap list?
Well, but J.K. Rowling is still a heavy hitter. She does still make a crap ton of money on her book, so she still does actually matter. But her, Patterson, Stephen King, is Anne Rice still writing?
No, she passed away just recently.
Okay, so probably not her.
Respect, it's Anne Rice, so she may very well still be writing and getting ready to publish something.
That is fair. Neil Gaiman has become a huge name. George Martin obviously is a big deal. You've got, although with George, you know, he only puts out a few books every decade, a book every decade.
Right.
Actually, he's been doing, anyway, whatever. The point is that these folks make all the money. And new authors almost never make anybody any money, including for themselves. And then you've got mid-list authors who break even. And, you know, mid-list authors all have day jobs unless they're independently wealthy. And it's really this handful of people at the very top who are making all the money. And what used to be the case is that there was enough money being made that the publishers were able to spend, you know, X amount on developing new authors And they expected to lose or break even at best on them, but the whole deal was to train the next generation of Neil Gaimans and Rices, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But with Amazon sucking all the profits out of publishing with their perpetual race to the bottom, there is a lot less money to be spent on new authors. There's a lot less money to be spent developing new authors. So not only do fewer new authors get signed, but there are fewer development dollars and resources to spend on making their work better and marketing their work.
Now, from my perspective, mm-hmm. I feel like this is part of what's playing into the increase in the popularity of self-publishing, which ironically, Amazon kind of controls too.
Say it again.
So self-publishing.
Yes.
I think the increase in popularity we're seeing in self-publishing is in part because Amazon has driven this race to the bottom. So the money isn't there for publishers to cultivate this new generation of writers on an ongoing basis. Therefore, people are turning to self-publishing to get their books out. And in some cases, that pays off. Andy Weir is a good example. And the irony to me is that the self-publishing market is, in many ways, controlled by Amazon as well.
Well, now that you've opened that particular can of worms, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more driving self-publishing. For one thing, it has never been easier to write a book, which theoretically was how we got to this conversation pre-show. Right, there are yeah. soft. You don't have to write your book in Word anymore. And I'm going to tell you, writing a book in Word stinks, especially if you're going to like take a novel and put it into a single Word document. That's just insane. But
don't do that. Word is not a long form document tool.
There are tons of people who do that though. That's the funny thing.
And I know, and it's crazy to me. I would never do that. I mean, the longest thing I want in a Word document is a single chapter.
Yes. Yeah, that personally, I agree with that. But with the fiction world, everything goes in, like, there's basically a point at which your book now lives in Word in a single document. But there are products like Scrivener, which I think is a godsend to writers. There's
yes.
Ulysses is another very popular writing app. Even things like BB Edit. I mean, there are so many tools for writing. And of course, not everybody, actually, there are some folks who don't, but probably everyone listening here has a computer. And it has never been easier to write a book. So you have this explosion of people who want to write and then who do write. You have Amazon making it easier than ever to self-publish, and Amazon makes it very, very easy to self-publish, which has in turn driven various cottage industries of people who do things like make covers or they'll format your book. There are people who will sell. There's a lot of like editors who used to work for the publishing industry who sell their services to self-published authors, etc. And then you do have the fact that fewer new authors get signed. The agenting process is very difficult. A lot of people do not want to put that work in. A lot of people feel like they don't even have to do that work. And then a lot of people aren't even aware that they need to do the work and that the work is there to be done because Amazon mm-hmm. makes it so easy to self-publish. So I don't think that's just due to the publishing industry shrinking. I think you've got this confluence of events. Everybody and their brother is writing a book. Everybody and their brother can't get published. It has never been easier to both write the book and then to self-publish it. And the end result is this explosion of self-publishing, a lot of which is, frankly, I think, garbage.
You know, yes. The thing is, because it's so easy, you're going to get a lot of stuff that otherwise wouldn't have happened. Hence the feeling that there's a lot of garbage content out there. I think there's a lot of good content that's coming out too. I think there's a lot of rough content that could be amazing content if more people understood the necessity of having a good editor, because you can be a great writer, but without a really good editor backing you up and being there through the whole process, you're not going to have as good a product as you would otherwise.
I completely agree with that, but I'm going to back it up another step, and I'm going to say there is it is incredibly important that you work with other writers. If you're out there right now and you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I've always wanted to write a book. I'd like to write my book. Maybe, and I'm hearing how easy it is to write that book. I'm going to go ahead and write that book. Yay. Do that. But put the work in. For one thing, I personally have learned more from critiquing and editing other people's writing than I have from going through the process of writing myself. And
I get it. I found that to be incredibly educational.
Yeah, it is super educational. And it's also important that you be able to find other writers with whom you click. And I do not mean that. I'll use myself as an example. When I first started writing my novel, it turned out I didn't know what I was doing, and I was writing a bunch of crap. And I did not know it was crap. And part of the reason that I didn't know it was crap is that I had lovely, wonderful, supporting people telling me how wonderful it was. They were all wrong, but they were telling me how wonderful it was.
In our defense, it was wonderful. We just didn't realize how much better it could be.
It was not, thank you. It was not wonderful. It was crap. And I had this confluence of three people who very kindly and politely told me my book was crap. And they did so in very constructive ways. And that really, really, really helped me. And then from there, I was lucky enough to connect with a friend that I didn't know was in the process of writing himself. And then another friend that I made, who is still one of my dearest friends, Courtney Washburn. She's the real deal. She's at some point you're going to see her books on shelves. I met her through a writer forum, and her and my buddy Dimitri in particular both brought things to me that I didn't even know that I needed in terms of learning how to write.
Okay. So, how do I want to say it? Okay, here we go. The fact that I got to be, at this point, I'll say it was an alpha reader and then beta reader for your book.
You were an alpha reader, and I love you to death for that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for letting me be part of that. I learned so much about editing and refining books in general, but especially fiction. And by the time we were done with that process, and I looked back, because I had kept early copies of the files, and I would look at early drafts and then later drafts, and I realized, yeah, okay, what I was so excited about in the early parts, I should have expressed as, I love the ideas and concepts, and yes, the writing and the structure and everything that you improved and polished along the way, I could see how that changed. So if we were to do that again today with the knowledge that I have now, I think that I would be in a much better position to look at the early drafts and tell you what I'm liking about it, and then point out the places where I'm seeing issues. And the extension of that is, that helped me become a better writer as well for whatever I'm writing. And the stuff that I write is all nonfiction. But still, going through that process with you, that I believe improved my writing.
Same with my writing at TMO and other nonfiction. The process of learning how to write, and that's an ongoing process for me, fiction, definitely made my nonfiction writing better, even though the two kinds of writings are so completely different. And I also, I should be clear to all those people who were so nice to me when I first started, like, you know, throwing chapters out. I don't know if I would have continued with it if I had been giving it to people who knew enough to tell me what garbage it was. I have no idea. I don't know what I would have done. As it is, the encouragement I got kept me going. And then also just my own personality, once I actually started Absolute Right. I'm going to send you the link to that. Absolute Right forums. Absolute Right forums are the writer's forum that I hang out in. If you don't have to hang out at that one, folks, but if you want to write, find a writer's forum to hang out and meet other writers and critique other people. Do everything you can.
Yes.
To critique other people especially when it comes to writing fiction. I don't know if that, it probably could translate over to nonfiction too.
I think it can. And I'm saying that just based on my experience of being a reader of your book through its process. It made me more aware than I already was of the way pieces fit together and the way thoughts and ideas flow through the words. And I think that helped with my editing back when I was at Mac Observer with mm-hmm. you.
Sure. Oh, for sure. For sure. I think both of our writing improved all throughout that process, because everything I was learning, I was turning around at TMO, and everything that you were learning through helping me, you were also turning around through TMO. So yeah, but we both became better writers as a process of me writing a novel. And also, your design book and the For Dummy stuff I did helped us both too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. And editing the pieces that other people were writing at TMO, that helped me a lot as well. I mean, I had ideas that I felt were appropriate for the way content should be written at the site. And that evolved over time, just based on general experience, but then also what came out of editing or reading your book. And where I'm going with that, now that I've said all that, I realized is that what you were saying about critiquing other people's work, being involved in the editing process, you're going to learn so much about your own writing through doing that, and it's an invaluable tool. You need to write all the time, but you need to be involved in what other people are writing as well.
Yes. Editing and critiquing, which are two different things, beta reading, mm-hmm. which is a third thing, and alpha reading, which is, you know, a fourth thing. All those, having people doing that for you is important. You doing it for other people is probably more important. And you learn so much about your own writing when you're involved in someone else's writing.
Yes.
And it helps you see the things in your own writing when you're seeing them first in someone else's. So that is super important. So back to process. In fiction, you need to have a finished book to get an agent. And because of the contraction of profits in the publishing industry, including the consolidation in the publishing industry, they're basically, if you're a new author, you're not going to get development time. Your book has to be ready to go. And because everybody and their brother is writing a book, when it comes to an agent, if you're going to sign a new author, you have your pick of people to choose from. And the people that you're going to choose are probably the people who have books that are ready to go, because you don't have the time to work with them as an agent to make their book ready for publishing.
Right.
And that's above and beyond. The thing I always say about finding an agent is you need to find the right agent on the right day, in the right mood, when they had the right cup of coffee and the right slush pile and the right manuscript. That's when you're going to find an agent. And there's a lot of things that have to come together to actually find an agent. And you have, you have to get that agent before they can then sell your book to the publishing editor, who also has, you know, has to be the right day and the right cup of coffee and, you know, the right slush pile and the right manuscript and all those other things too. So there are a whole lot of things that are standing between you and being published. And to be fair, self-publishing is an option. I feel personally like a lot of self-published material should not be self-published. It should not be published yet, but it is an option. And there are certainly self-published authors who become better authors as they go. But one of the things that I've seen are a lot of self-published authors who don't want to put the work in. They don't want to put the work learning how to write. They don't want to put the work learning how to edit. They don't want to put the work, they don't want to read their book for the 50th time. They don't want to read it for the 20th time. Mm-hmm. I would see it all the time at Absolute Right Forums. You'd have some self-published author who would come through and just say, "Hey, you know, I'm looking for ways to boost sales of my book." It's like, okay, great. You know, it would just happen all the time. And what the veterans would say, the veterans there do tend to be published. They would always say that the best thing you can do to sell more copies of your book is to write another book. That's what moves past copies of your book, or past copies of other books.
As you say it, that makes sense, because people get your second book, they like it, they want more. Now they can go find the first book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And don't get me wrong, my path to try, I don't even have an agent yet. I have what I think is a good book. I have what I think is a better book than some stuff that I've written that's been published. And I don't even have an agent. So first of all, my book could be garbage, and I don't need to prop me up there, Jeff. It is possible that my book is garbage. It's possible that I'm just writing the wrong book at the wrong time, that my book might be fine, but no, you know, just it's not marketable. That's a possibility too. The point is that my journey has been years in the making, and a lot of people don't want to put in that kind of work. And that's very, very understandable. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, there's like the one out of a million who get really lucky. You know, they write I think it's Mars Rising. No, it's The Magicians. Like the guy wrote that book in a few months and then got signed almost immediately. And then it sold a bunch of copies and got made into a TV show. I mean, that's unicorn stuff. It doesn't happen to most folks.
Right. And, but don't let that stop you from working on your project.
Yeah. Don't let it stop. And so my advice to people who want to write is find the people who can constructively tell you the problems with your writing. Get rid of the folks or, you know, not get rid of them, but do not rely on the folks who all they tell you is that everything is wonderful, because it's probably not all wonderful. And, and then find the people that you can be honest with and who will be honest with you, and then work your butt off. And if you're trying to get an agent, while you're shopping your book out to an agent, start writing the next book.
Okay. I like that advice.
And if you can't get an agent, don't be afraid to trunk something. And I say that I'm looking at myself there, because I have other books I want to write, and I put very minimal effort into anything but trying to get Mason's story sold. And when I'm busy, I don't even do that. And use Scrivener. That's my other advice. Scrivener is awesome.
I agree. Even though I'm not a Scrivener user, I think Scrivener is an amazing tool.
It is an amazing tool. I love Schroeder. I love Schroeder.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's another amazing tool?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, do you like the transition I just pulled off there? I
love that. That was like a slap coming out of nowhere.
I don't get it. So another amazing tool in your home are really good blinds that help you keep it cooler when the sun is just blasting on your windows, or help you keep it warmer when it's just like crazy cold outside. And that's what Hunter Douglas is doing with their awesome blinds. And to make it even better, they have PowerView technology, which works with HomeKit, so that you can automate how your blinds work, which is just fantastic. So you don't have to do the horrible process of getting up and getting off the couch and walking over to the blinds and adjusting them manually. And, you know, and I'm saying that part kind of funny, but the deal is, if you can automate how your blinds are working, now you don't have to worry about doing the other bits of like making sure that the blinds close at night so it's darker in your room, or so they open in the mornings when it's time to get up, and making sure that if you're gone that the blinds open or close depending on the temperature. So there you go. That's what you need. And so you should be checking out what Hunter Douglas blinds and PowerView technology can do for you. So visit hunterdouglas.com/ACM today for your free Style Gets Smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/ACM for your free design guide. And hey, thank you, Hunter Douglas, for being our sponsor.
Thank you very much for being our sponsor. We appreciate that. I do have some more advice for people who are wanting to get published or to
write. Yes, I would love to hear it.
Don't say that a lot of things being published are garbage. Don't burn bridges, because you never know when you're going to need a favor. You never know when you're going to need something. That's probably good advice for a lot of other areas too.
Yeah, being nice and friendly and helpful, that's just good life advice in general.
Yes, it is. Being respectful and whatnot. One of the things I've seen, though, I've seen agents talking about how, because agents will stalk you. If they're interested in your book, mm-hmm. in your manuscript, they're going to do some kind of Google search on you to see what shows up.
Of course they are.
And I have seen more than one agent. I've seen multiple agents, I'll put it that way, talk about how they are leery of working with an author who's gonna talk crap about other authors or publishers or agents. Right? They don't want to bring that kind of negativity into their professional world or their life, but then they also don't want to they don't want to end up burning bridges of their own. You know, when they're working with other agents or publishers. So, so definitely be, you know, try, if you don't have something nice to say, probably don't say it. I think that's really good advice. And I need to mm-hmm. remind myself of that every once in a while.
Just every now and then.
Just every now and then.
But don't people know who you are?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And let's see here. So use Scrivener, get an agent. If you're going to self-publish, find either other authors who will help you make your writing the best it can be, or hire a professional editor. And you remember, mm-hmm. you get what you pay for. When you're hiring, mm-hmm. When you're hiring anybody, you're going to get what you pay for. And, you know, put the work in. If you're doing nonfiction, if you're doing nonfiction, try to get an agent, but you can get published without an agent in the nonfiction world. You need to have a really solid proposal, and you probably need to have some mm-hmm. kind of platform.
I agree. Having a platform goes a long way, and yeah, and then come up with a good proposal. I will add to that as something for both fiction and nonfiction aspiring writers is read a lot. Find, yes. Find authors and content that fall in the area that you're interested in so you can see what other people are doing. But then also go and find authors and content outside of what you normally are interested in and read that too. Because seeing what other people are doing outside of your bubble can be really helpful.
It really can be. Stephen King talks a lot about that. The importance of being well-read. Many authors that I look up to have talked about the importance of being well-read. That is super important. And it kind of, there's even kind of like a direct way. Not only does it sort of like help you in like this meta sense, one of the things, especially in the world of fiction, is you get asked to make what is called a comp, as in a compare. So what does your book compare to? Like, you know, Harry Potter meets the Umbrella Academy, or, you know.
Okay. I'm kind of interested already on that. So are you going to write it?
Probably not that one. You need to know your industry and you need to know your genre. So one of the things that I have probably not done myself any favors in is I don't know what to compare my book to. And when I do make a comparison, it is outdated. It's Ringworld meets Hyperion, and Ringworld is 40 years old and Hyperion is 25 years old. Actually, Ringworld's probably older than that. 40, probably closer to 50 years old. And
maybe for your book, we should try and bring at least part of it a little more contemporary. And
you got a comp for me?
I'm working on it. We need to fix the first part of it, though. The Rockford Files meets The Expanse.
Yes, The Rockford Files still too old.
I know, but see, that's the part we need to fix.
Actually, I used to say starring Jim, like my book starred Jim Rockford. Not James Garner, but Jim Rockford.
Yeah. So modern detective, kind of rough and tumble detective meets The Expanse.
Yeah, my book's not set in space, so The Expanse doesn't work. I mean, I get why you would make that comp because of sort of world building. Mm-hmm. But from a story's perspective, you know, I'm not writing a space opera, and The Expanse is a space opera.
Yeah, well, baby steps. At least we're looking at content that's newer.
Yeah, so don't be like me. Right? You know your genre, be able to make a comp. And to be able to make a comp, you need to be really well read in your genre and without your genre, to Jeff's point.
Yep. Easy place to find a lot of interesting content that probably falls outside of what you'd normally read or your genre, Smithsonian Magazine.
Ooh, good. I like that.
Yeah. It's such an eclectic mix of articles. And what really triggered that for me, and this was years and years ago, I was looking at a copy of Smithsonian and there was an article about crows. Okay. And I'm like, seriously, I have no interest in it. But I was bored.
I would read just an article to kill in some time. About crows. Go ahead, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it was fantastic. And even though I was already into the Smithsonian Magazine, when I read that one, that's the one that really clarified for me why it was so important to read something that you might otherwise overlook. Because you don't know where you're going to see the thing that really helps you refine part of what you're doing.
That's so true. All right. Before we say anything else, I would like to point out that we're out of time, and that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to add, comment on, question, whatever, you can write us on Twitter @Context Machine. You can reach me at GeekTells, T-E-L-L-S, on the Twitter. How about you, Jeff?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gammon on both.
Oh, that's very handy.
Yeah.
Our bandwidth is provided by Cash Live, Bases by Boom, recorded for us. That's Ricky Spiro. Thank you, Ricky. We love you dearly. If you have any questions about the writing thing, or if you just want to tell me to go shut up, do shoot me a note somewhere. I don't know about Jeff.
And hey, thank you, Hunter Douglas, for being our sponsor. Visit hunterdouglas.com/ACM today for your free Style Get Smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/ACM for your free design guide.
Indeed. And on that happy note, it's like we ran out of time.
Totally. And I have to just bail.